Good morning. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 12 today. Actually, we're going to only look at half of verse 12 today. But while you turn there, I just want to say to those of you who had a great father, happy Father's Day as you remember him. But to those of you who did not have a great father, I want to say to you, break the cycle. My daddy did not have the greatest home life growing up, but I did. My dad did not have the things that I had in a father, but I did. My mom and my dad came to a point where they were ready to get married, and they said, our home is going to be different. Our life is going to be different. We're going to honor the Lord in everything we do. And so I recognize that Father's Day is sweet and happy for some, it's deep and reflective for others, and it can be really hard for the rest. But I want you to know, if we will walk rightly with the Lord, we can either follow good examples or break the chain reaction of bad examples. And we can be good fathers, we can be good parents, we can be good Christians for others to love and follow. So we're praying for you today and all the dynamics that come with Father's Day. Now, fathers, I want y'all to listen to me, though. If you want to break the cycle, or mamas, if you want to break the cycle, parents, if you want to break the cycle, it's very important that we get verse 12 right today. It's very important that we take verse 12 to heart today. It's very important that we deal with our sin. In this series, we've been looking at prayer. Specifically, we've gotten into what sort of things we ought to pray for. What should we pray for? Not just how to pray, but like specifically what to pray for. We've looked at the first thing to pray for that the Bible shows us, and that is we ought to pray to know God. We ought to pray to know God better. Lord, help me know you better. We've talked about that. The second thing we've looked at is that we ought to pray for daily provision, that the Lord would give us what's needful for today, one day at a time, trusting him, being dependent on him. And today we come to the third thing, and this is a very, very important thing. Today we come to the third thing, and that is we ought to pray for forgiveness. We ought to pray for forgiveness. Now, think about this. Last week we talked about daily bread. Today we're talking about forgiveness. Matthew Henry said this. He said, our daily bread does but feed us as lambs for the slaughter if our sins are not pardoned. Think about that. We need daily bread, sure, but y'all, all that's doing is feeding us for the day of judgment if we don't have our sins pardoned. Today we're going to talk about and look at what Jesus taught us about praying for forgiveness of sins. Look at verse 12, Matthew 6, 12. Jesus said, as we continue to work through the model prayer, we ought to ask our Father this. He says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, verse 12, there are two aspects of verse 12 we need to look at. The first part is the reality that we need to be forgiven. The second thing is that we need to forgive. You see those? Forgive us as we also have forgiven. We need to be forgiven, but y'all, we also need to forgive. Those are two things we've got to spend some time on in verse 12, and today we're only going to spend time on the first one. We're only going to spend time on the reality that we need to be forgiven, and the good news that Jesus teaches us to ask for that. Jesus is teaching us to ask for the Father to forgive us of our sins. Daily, we can ask him to forgive us of our sins. Now, that is very important because a lot of times when we sin, we feel like the last thing we should do is ask him to forgive us again. You ever felt yourself shying away from asking God to forgive you? Feel like you got to clean your life up a little bit, then you can get back around to him? Look what Jesus is saying right here. We can ask him, hey, Father, here I am again. Forgive us our debts. Forgive me. Forgive us, Lord. We ought to ask for forgiveness. We need to be forgiven. Now, you may think, how in the world we're going to spend an entire morning on half of a verse? Well, I want to spend our time together this morning on this first half by asking and answering five questions. The first question is this. If you're taking notes, the first question is this. What needs to be forgiven? When we look at verse 12, what needs to be forgiven? Well, look at it. Forgive us what? Our debts. Forgive us our debts. Our debts need to be forgiven. We're to look to the Father and ask Him to forgive our debts. Now, if you look this word up in the Greek, here's what it means. This word debt means the moral debt incurred as the result of sin. This word can be translated offense, can be translated sin, transgression, or guilt. So let's read it that way. Forgive us our offense against you, God. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our transgression. Forgive us of our guilt. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our debts. Let's think about sin for a minute. What is sin? Well, when you do the doctrine of sin and you look across the scriptures at what sin is, it's described in a variety of ways. It's used with a variety of terms. And sin is a very complex thing. Sin is falling short of the standard. It's missing the mark of the standard. But it's not just like an inability. There's also an intentionality in some of this because it's also described as the crossing of a line. It's not just I can't meet the standard, but it's also I will break whatever standard I can see. So it's falling short and crossing a line. In Psalm 51:4, David says, against you and you only, O Lord, have I sinned. Y'all, sin is not the breaking of some rule. It is raising your fist in the face of God saying, I'll do what I want to do. I'll be who I want to be. I'll make my own decisions. I'll be my own boss. I'll do whatever pleases me and not you right now. I may want you today, but I want me right now. You understand what sin is? Are you guilty of those kind of negotiations in your mind? Where you please yourself instead of your Father? Forgive us our falling short. Forgive us, Lord, for crossing the line. Forgive us for our offense against you. This is not just the breaking of some rule. It's against God. And y'all, you know this is true. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Is it true? You know, I think about when I share the gospel, one of the easiest parts of sharing the gospel is acknowledging the obvious. All have sinned. Even folks who don't believe in sin usually agree, yeah, I'm not perfect. Very aware of their shortcomings. Very aware of times they've handled themselves poorly. The Bible is true when it says all have sinned. And y'all, if all have sinned, all need to be forgiven of that sin. And y'all, the sweetest, most childlike thing is right here in the model prayer. Jesus says, ask your Father to forgive you. You all have sinned. You all have sin debt. And Jesus says, here's how you should pray. As he shows that to you, ask him to forgive you. Just as you would ask for daily bread, ask for daily forgiveness. Isn't that sweet? No matter what I'm about to say this morning, you should be able to grab that and take that with you. I'm a sinner, and I can ask for forgiveness. What a gracious, merciful, and loving God we have. 1 John 1:9 says this, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What needs to be forgiven? Our sins. If we will confess our sins, he will forgive us our sins. The second question, though, I want us to think about is this. What is forgiveness? Not just what needs to be forgiven, but what is forgiveness? Well, if you look up the Greek word forgive, here's what it means. to remove the guilt resulting from wrongdoing. To remove the guilt resulting from wrongdoing. To pardon, to forgive, or forgiveness. You could translate Matthew 6:12 like this: forgive us for the wrongs we have done. I just want you to think on that one for a minute with me. To remove the guilt. How do you deal with your sin? All are sinners. You know you have sin. You know it needs to be dealt with. How do you deal with it? I think many of us try to drown it out with pleasure and busyness. We run from it. I think there are others who try to numb it with distractions, whether it's your phone or alcohol or some pill or something else, kind of take the edge off. Some of you even may be tempted to turn to self-harm. I think about as a student pastor, so many of our students, especially our girls, would cut and cut and cut, trying to deal with this pain, punishing themselves. Why do we turn to all those things? We want this off of us. We can't get it off of us. I feel the nastiness, the heaviness, the griming. I feel the funk of my sin, right? You don't need to drink. You don't need to take pills. You don't need to numb. You don't need to distract. You don't need to hide. You don't need to do any of those things. You need to do the simple thing that Jesus is teaching us to do here when we pray. Just say, Father, I stink. Father, I'm filthy. Filthy. Father, I have sinned. Father, forgive me. Forgiveness is the removal of that guilt. That's how you get it off of you. You come to him with the filth of it on your hands and say, Father, forgive me. And Jesus teaches us to do that very thing. Come into his presence, ask him, and he will forgive. Father, forgive us. Father, remove the guilt that is the result of my wrongdoing. That's forgiveness. You can find what you're looking for by coming to God in prayer, not turning to all these other things. Let's think a little bit more, though. The third question this morning: how does God do that? I'm telling you, come to him. He'll remove it. But think deeply now. We're going to get a little deeper here. How does he remove it? I'm saying, if you'll ask him, he'll remove that guilt. How? And he does, y'all. Literally, he removes it. I mean, physically, emotionally, spiritually, all you can feel it being and being having been removed. You can feel that. How does he do that, though? I want to caution you this morning as we think about forgiveness to realize that it is not cheap forgiveness. This is not, I'll sin, do what I want, and when I lay down at night, I'll just say, hey, forgive all that. I'll do it again tomorrow. I'll be back with more for you to forgive. We're not talking about cheap grace. We're not talking about cheap forgiveness. God's not playing that game. How does God forgive, though? God doesn't just remove our sin or the guilt of it. He doesn't just forget it like some old sweet granddaddy in the sky. I think a lot of people have weird views of God. Remember, we've got to think rightly about God or we'll never live rightly before him. I think a lot of people have a weird view of God. They're like, well, God has to forgive me. God don't have to forgive you. He has to punish you. We'll talk about that more in just a minute, but he does not have to forgive you. He does not have to forgive you. They think about God like he has to, and because he's nice, and if he don't forgive me, then he's not being good. And well, if he don't forgive me, he's just being just, which is good. We think about him like some old sweet granddaddy in the sky that just loves you so much, he's willing to kind of let it slide. He loves you so much, he's just willing to kind of let it go. And you come and you say, Father, forgive me. He's like, all right, baby, I know. It's okay. Since you asked, don't you worry about that. You're okay. That's not how God forgives. God does not forgive just because he's some old softy granddaddy that lets you get away with murder. It's not what's going on at all. Think with me, how does God forgive us? When it comes to sin, sin comes with a penalty. There's a debt that must be paid because of our sin. God is loving, but God is just, and God is holy. And a just judge punishes sin. If you had a case and you brought it before a judge, and the judge was just some old soft granddaddy that cared nothing about upholding the law and said, "Well, I know you're as guilty can be, but you know what? Baby, just don't do it again." That's a lack of justice. That's unacceptable. That's wrong. God is a just God. He is a holy God, and he has to punish sin. And Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin, the wages, the payment, the penalty, the price earned, the debt incurred, the wages of sin is death. All have sinned, and the penalty, the payment, the debt of that sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And the Bible tells us it's not just physical death, but also, and ultimately, hell. The wages of sin is death. And we know the good news is, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But y'all, we must be saved from the penalty of sin. We must be saved from the debt of our sin, and the payment is death. So think with me, how does God forgive us? Jesus is saying, as simple as you can to say, "Father, forgive me," and he will. But how? How does he forgive us without letting the sin just go unpunished? The sin, the wrong just undealt with? That's not just. How does he forgive us? There's one theological word that's very important for you to know. Here's how God forgives sinners while punishing sin at the exact same time. Here's the word: propitiation. Propitiation. God's wrath must be satisfied toward our sin if anyone's to be forgiven. Our sin must be dealt with if it is to be removed. Now, there are some people who will play games with you, and they'll say, "Well, that word in the Greek is not propitiation, it's expiation. And expiation means to wipe away, and God just wipes away our sin." Even if you go with expiation, what is being used to wipe it away? Blood. Propitiation. Substitutionary atonement. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. There's no wiping away, and there's no satisfying the payment without the shedding of blood. So whether it's expiation or propitiation, how does God forgive us? He forgives us by punishing our sin. How did God punish the sins of those he forgives? Jesus. Jesus paid this debt. Look at it. Matthew 6:12, forgive us our debts. Who's going to pay the debt? If God forgives us, who's paying the debt? The debt's still there. Who's paying it? Get this. The one who pays the debt in verse 12 is the one who is telling us to ask for the forgiveness in verse 12. Like, do you get that? Jesus is saying, guys, here's how you pray. When it comes to your sin, ask the Father to forgive you of your debts. And he's saying that knowing good and well, he came to pay it for you. Who's going to deal with it? Jesus? Jesus said, "I will. I will." Jesus paid our debt. Y'all think about this. Jesus satisfied the wrath of God toward your sin. A lot of times we think the ransom money for our souls needed to be paid to Satan. Why? Who is sin against? Psalm 51:4, David said, "My sin is against you and you only, O Lord." Whose wrath needs to be satisfied? Who's been offended? Who's been rebelled against? Who's been attacked? Who? Whose honor has been smeared? It's God's. And God is holy and just, and he will punish every sin. But he loves us sinners. And he sent his son to take that punishment, to pay that debt, so that we could be forgiven. Jesus paid our death. Jesus satisfied the wrath of God. He took the punishment we deserve. And you got to get this, church. This is a moment for us to really think well doctrinally. Sin is not the breaking of some rule. It's not, oh, well, it hurts somebody else. First and foremost, it is disobeying God. It's against God. The wages of sin is death and ultimately hell. And I've told y'all 100 times before, and I'll tell you 100 times again, if the punishment for sin seems too big, if it seems too severe, if eternal torment and agony in a literal lake of fire burning forever and ever seems too severe, if it seems like the punishment don't fit the crime, if the punishment seems too big, it's because your view of God is too small. Does that make sense? The punishment is not too big. Sin against him is this big of a deal. In fact, look at the Lord's Prayer here. If you don't start with verses 9 and 10, you're not going to care about verse 12. You see that? Verse 9, how do we start our prayers? Big view of God, our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Right? Our God in heaven. Hallowed be your name. And I'm telling you, when you're in the presence of his holiness and his glory and his goodness and who he is, all of a sudden verse 12 matters a lot. Father, I've sinned. You're holy and I'm not. I'm sinful, Lord. How can I be in your presence? Forgive me. And he's made a way through Jesus. I want you to flip back to Isaiah. Flip back to the left. Isaiah chapter 6. Flip back to Isaiah. When you think about prayer, and we pray the first part of the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. He's holy. He's great. He is king. We want his kingdom to come. We want his will to be done. When we think about his greatness, all of a sudden, we immediately think about our sin and the need for forgiveness. Look at Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. Look how Isaiah responded to seeing God. Isaiah 6, 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. You want to talk to God about your sin? Come into his presence. See him high and lifted up, seated on his throne. Verse 2, above him stood the seraphim. Each had 6 wings. With 2, he covered his face. With 2, he covered his feet. And with 2, he flew. And they called to one another. What'd they say? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. You hear those words? Holy, holy, holy. Glory. The whole earth is filled with it. There he is, high and seated on the throne. Look at God. And how does he respond to that? How does Isaiah respond to that? Does he snuggle up to this God that he sees like a good old sweet granddaddy that says, that's all right, baby, come over here? Verse 4, it says, the foundation of the threshold shook, and the voice of him who called in the house was filled with smoke. Verse 5, and Isaiah responded like this. Woe is me, for I am lost. I'm a sinner. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of people with unclean lips. We're all sinners. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. If we start the model prayer with a big view of God, when we get to verse 12, we will say, like Isaiah, woe is me. Father, I've sinned. But look what happens, verse 6. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth, and he said, behold, This has touched your lips and your guilt is taken away. That's forgiveness, right? When the guilt is removed, remember that? Your guilt is taken away. That's forgiveness. And your sin is atoned for. That's propitiation. It's been paid for in your place. A sacrifice has been made. And y'all, when we come into the presence of God and we see our sin and then we receive forgiveness of our sin, then we're ready to do whatever God asks us to do. Look at verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And he said, "Here I am. Send me." He's ready. We can't go. We can't be ready to go. We can't get up and go until we've come before our holy God and say, "I am sinful." Until we have our guilt removed and our sin atoned for, we can't do anything else. And Jesus is teaching his disciples to simply ask, "Father, forgive our debts." If you don't care about verse 12, I want to encourage you to go back to verses 9 and 10. And when you're in the presence of the Lord, you'll be able to pray exactly as Jesus has said, "Forgive us." How does God forgive us? God is loving. He loves us. He's made us to have a relationship with us. But he's also just. We have sinned against him and our sin has to be dealt with. How does God balance both of those attributes? His love for us, but his judgment on sin. How does he balance that? How does he forgive us? Romans 5:8 says, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Look at the cross, and you will see God's love for you no matter what you've done. And you will see his hatred of sin no matter how small it is. On the cross, you see God taking sin seriously, but you also see him taking his love for you seriously as he sent his one and only son to die for you. In fact, that's what John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." He gave him to be a propitiation, a substitute, a sacrifice, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus came to pay our debt and he paid it with his blood by dying in our place on the cross. How does God forgive us? Not by just saying, "All right," but by punishing his son instead of you. That's the gospel. God sent Jesus to pay our sin debt. Because of the atoning work of Christ, through the atoning work of Christ, we can pray like a little child, "Father, forgive our debt." And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think sometimes, though, we get confused when we think about forgiveness. A lot of times we think about forgiveness only in terms of like initial forgiveness, like getting saved, right? I realize I'm a sinner. I need to be saved from my sin. We only think about it in terms of like that initial forgiveness. I need to be saved from my sins through the death of Christ in my place. But y'all, look at the context here. Turn back to Matthew 6. Look at the context here. We just prayed for daily bread, and now we're praying for forgiveness. There's a sense in which we are to pray for daily forgiveness, not just one-time forgiveness, but daily forgiveness. So you have this initial forgiveness that you turn from your sins and receive Jesus as your Savior by faith, and you're forgiven of all your sins, past, present, and future, that initial one-time forgiveness. But here the context in the model prayer seems to be speaking, though, about daily forgiveness. This is how we ought to pray. Daily bread and daily forgiveness. We need daily bread. We need daily forgiveness. And y'all, listen, look at this. This is not just one-time forgiveness. Jesus is teaching us to pray regularly, daily for this, for forgiveness. Now, if you're thinking with me theologically here, we come to our fourth question. If I'm saved, if all my sins have been forgiven, then why do I keep asking for forgiveness? Why are we to keep asking for forgiveness? Why are we to continue to ask for daily forgiveness? Are y'all tracking with me on that? We know how to be saved and forgiven once for all. But do we have to keep asking for our sins to be forgiven, like for every one of them? Or is it just one and done? Why do we keep asking for forgiveness? That's our fourth question. Well, some would answer that question, and they would say this: you keep asking for forgiveness so you don't go to hell. And the analogy that we would use in student ministry all the time, or kids would ask me a lot, is like, so Pastor Allen, what if you like died in a car wreck and your last words were, oh, blank. And you died. And you didn't get to ask for forgiveness for that. Where do you go? What if you die with unconfessed sin? What if you die and you didn't make it home that night to say, Lord, forgive me? What happens then? And y'all, I'm surprised at how many people think you have to stay prayed up to go to heaven. I'm surprised at how many people think you have to keep asking for forgiveness so you don't lose your salvation. You don't have to stay prayed up to go to heaven. You have to be washed by the blood. You have to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You don't have to keep asking for forgiveness to keep your salvation. Jesus saved us once and for all. But he's also teaching us to pray daily for forgiveness. So what do we do with this? Do y'all feel the dilemma there? What do we do with this? This fourth question is a big question, and I'm excited about answering it. Why do we keep asking for forgiveness? All right, listen. First thing you got to understand, number one, is we are already forgiven. The moment you repent of your sins and pray to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior by faith, all of your sins are forgiven and atoned for. You are in Christ. You are adopted into his family, not on conditions or probation. You are washed, adopted. You can call the Creator Father. You're in. There's no sorta, there's no kinda, there's no God might give you back if you mess up. No, no good God adopts somebody and gives them back because they didn't measure up. You are already forgiven. Here's a few verses to jot down. Once and for all forgiveness. The moment you pray to receive Jesus, you are forgiven. Hebrews 10:14, it's my favorite one, says, for by one sacrifice, that's Jesus in our place on the cross, for by one sacrifice, he has perfected forever those who are being made holy. By Jesus' one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever. He's made us perfect forever. How long is forever? It's forever. For once, by one sacrifice, he's made perfect forever those who are being made holy, or those who are in the process of being made perfect. We're not perfect yet, but he's declared us perfect forever by this one sacrifice, once and for all, Jesus. When we are saved, past, present, future sins, all atoned for because we are in Christ. We are under his atoning work, forgiven, justified, made perfect, clothed with his righteousness, done, complete, once and all, forever. Also write this verse down. John 10:28-27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. In verse 28, he says, and I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. How long is never? When he says they will never perish, how long is never? It's never. It's never. That's right. It's never. He says, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. Eternal life is eternal. We'll never perish. And then write this one down. Psalm 103:12. Psalm 103:12. You know this one. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Y'all, we are forgiven, 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 forgiven when we come to Jesus by faith. Not because of anything we've done, but because of everything he did in paying our sin debt. Look, if we're going to answer this question, why do we keep asking for forgiveness? We got to get this right. We're not continuing to ask for forgiveness because we don't really have it completely. No, no, no. We are completely forgiven. The second thing, though, you got to understand is this. We are already forgiven, but in real time, we still need to be forgiven. In real time, we sin. And the Bible tells us, when we do, to confess and to ask for forgiveness. We are already forgiven on the one hand. But the Bible also says when we do sin, we are to confess that and ask for forgiveness. And that's the tension here. You're totally and completely forgiven, but the Bible also says we are to ask for forgiveness in real time as these things happen. Again, 1 John 1, 9, for example. If we confess our sins, which we should, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And then our text today, Matthew 6, 12, Jesus says, pray, implied daily, regularly, pray, Father, forgive us our debts. So we're totally forgiven and we're taught to pray for forgiveness in real time. So what's going on here? Are we forgiven or not? So I think we can think about this in two ways. Two ways. Are we forgiven or not? Two ways. The forgiveness, number one, the forgiveness is already ours, but it needs to be applied in real time. Think about that. The moment you first believe, all of it's covered. But it still needs to be applied in real time. It's already been applied in eternity, but it also needs to then be applied in real time as eternity unfolds. It's kind of like Psalm 29 says, ascribe glory to the Lord. He already has glory, but there is a place for us to give him what is already his. And in the same way, we are already forgiven, but there's a place for him to give us what is ours in Christ in real time. It's already ours, but there's still a place for him to give that in real time as it unfolds. So it's already applied in eternity, but it also needs to be applied in real time. The second thing I want you to understand is this. Think about it this way. You know, why do we keep praying? Are we forgiven or not? Well, think about it like this. Think about a relationship with your father. Think about a relationship with your just earthly father. Especially if you're adopted. You are his. If you're adopted, you are chosen. And you are family. By blood or by choice, but you are family, right? None of that is ever in jeopardy. But if you sin against him, maybe you disrespect him or obey him. Maybe he asks you to, why didn't you take the trash out? Why do I always have to take the trash out? None of my kids would ever do that, though. None of them would ever do that. Why didn't you pick this up? Why are your shoes still laying here? Why are you always yelling at me? You know, that you snap at your father or something like that. I don't know what scenarios you can think of, but you step on each other's toes at home, right? Y'all look at me like the most holy people in the world. Y'all ever snap at each other in a relationship at home? Your kids ever snap at you? You ever snap at them? Mama's, daddy's, y'all ever just pop at each other? You didn't mean to. Nothing's, you're not losing anything, but you did something. Nothing's in jeopardy, but statements were made, right? Think about this with your father. You're his. That's done. That's settled. But you still ask for his forgiveness in those moments because of the relationship. Nothing's in jeopardy, but I need to acknowledge, I'm sorry for what I said, so that the freedom in that relationship and the sweetness can continue so that we can move past this. You're his. It's already done and settled. You still ask for his forgiveness, though, even though you already had it. He forgives you. You already had it. He was ready to forgive you before you asked. It was already yours, but it was important to acknowledge the wrong or the sin in the relationship, right? It's already yours, but it still needs to be dealt with relationally. You still need to receive the forgiveness, not just by default, but through confession and conversation. And y'all, that's true love. That's sweeter fellowship. And it's enjoyed and cultivated through this exchange in real time. I know I'm secure in Christ, Father, but I've sinned. And it's against you in real time. I know it's paid for, but Father, I shouldn't have done it. I feel the guilt of this on me. I know it's covered, but Father, will you take it? And he forgives. He removes the guilt of that sin. And you have that closeness instead of unspoken tension between you and him. We're already forgiven, but we're to ask for it in real time. So you can think about it like this. You have initial forgiveness, like justification. You need to be saved and justified. But then you have this relational daily forgiveness that's a part of sanctification, growing in your walk and fellowship with him. There's a tension, and these go together. You don't continue to ask for forgiveness daily, but so that you won't lose your salvation. You're not going to lose it. You continue to ask for daily forgiveness as you walk in sweetness with your Father in relationship with him, being conformed more and more to his likeness as you continue to put off sin more and more. That brings us then to our fifth question, and we'll be quick with this one. And it's really a concluding question. Fifth thing is this. All right, how do I pray for forgiveness? I get it. How do I pray for this? How do I pray for this? Well, simply, Matthew 6:12, look at it. Prayer is just talking to God. It's just asking and receiving. How do you pray for forgiveness? 6:12, you ask the Father to forgive you. You don't have to feel bad about doing that because Jesus told you to. You're actually being obedient when you come to God with the stink of your sin on your hands. You just simply say, God, Father, forgive me. And he's glad to, because he wants a relationship with you. He will wash you, clean you, and continue to sanctify you. But I also just want to give you two more passages to take home with you. We'll look at them briefly, but I want you to take these with you. If you want to practice and you want to apply verse 12, the Psalms hold our hand beautifully. You want to know how to pray for forgiveness? Turn to Psalm 51. Turn back to Psalm 51. Just put your eyes on it quickly. Sometimes you want to talk to God, but you just ain't got the words. Especially when you're eat up with guilt and conviction. Psalm 51 will hold your hand if you want to talk to God about your sin. This is a passage I want you to take home with you and hold for the rest of your life. Anytime you want to talk to God about your sin and ask him for forgiveness, I would turn to Psalm 51 and pray through this one piece at a time. Just read verses 1 through 12 with me. And imagine we're praying, whether together as a church or individually in our closet or maybe riding down the road. Psalm 51, 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. You say, why would he forgive me? Because of who he is, not you. He's characterized by his steadfast love and abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Look at verses 3 and 4. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Lord, I'm eat up, surrounded, swallowed up by sin from the very beginning. Verse 6, behold, though you delight in truth in the inward being, you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. God, I ain't playing games. I want to be right with you. Verse 7, Lord, purge me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. God, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Lord, I want to do right. Help me do right. How do we pray for forgiveness? Take Psalm 51 with you. And then turn back. The last one I'll show you and we'll close is Psalm 32. Psalm 32, we'll just look at 1 through 6. Take this one with you as well. Psalm 32, 1. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was dried up as the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer a prayer to you at a time when you may be found. And that prayer is Matthew 6:12. Father, forgive our debts. This is part one of how to pray about forgiveness. You need to be forgiven. You need to ask for daily forgiveness, even though you've been forgiven once and for all. Ask Him to forgive you as you continue to grow in your walk with Him. We'll pick up part two next week. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you have made a way for our sins to be forgiven. Lord, every other philosophy of life, every other religion, every other belief system has no answer. No other religion in this world has an answer to how our sin has been dealt with except us. You are the one true and living God. You have given a solution to the problem of sin. You have given us your Son. Father, as we think about our sin together as a church, we thank you for Jesus. You proved your love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Father, I thank you that you have forgiven us of our sins. And Father, we pray together now even. Forgive us of the ones that are present now. Lord, we confess those to you. You've called us to be holy and we are not. But Lord, you are steadfast in love. You're abundant in mercy. And we look to you and we ask you to remove our sins. To forgive us again today. Father, we thank you for Jesus who's made that possible. Lord, if there's anyone here today who feels like an outsider listening in to this business of daily forgiveness, but they've never had that initial forgiveness, they've never been saved, and that once for all way. Lord, I pray that you would call their name, you would show them that they are not saved, and that today they would be the sheep that hear your voice and turn from their sin and follow you by faith in your Son. Lord, if there's any here today that are not saved, I pray that they would turn to you and be forgiven and saved. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that you continue to make us the Christians and the church that you've called us to be. We give ourselves to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.